Welcome. So good to see each of you. And aren't you glad for the sunshine we have today? Oh, I wasn't ready for winter. You know, this is much better. We have a good year planned, as we mentioned briefly a few minutes ago. I'm excited about it. Our theme for this year is going deeper in Christ. We will be looking at these lives of women who's illustrate some deeper truths, because we long to go deeper in Him. It's our hunger, our passion. You know, we want more of Him. That's the theme at Woodman this year, pursuing more of Jesus. And this is what we are doing. And the exciting thing is that this delights Him when we pursue Him. This is His desire to go deeper with us, to walk closer with us, to have us know Him better. And it's His heart to reveal Himself in deeper ways to us. We have an adventure in walking with Him. It's not always easy. It can be very challenging. But He is faithful, and He never changes. So we can count on Him being to us all that He is. He cannot be otherwise. That gives us confidence and hope. So this fall, we'll do this one on the Great Cloud of Witnesses. Then in the winter, spring, we are going to do something a little different. Stormy O'Mardian's book, The Prayer That Changes Everything. She has chapters in there and then a little study at the end of each chapter. And each chapter is loaded with scriptures. Discoveries of hers that have changed her life. She has quite a powerful testimony. And I think will be meaningful to each of us. It's on a lesson that the Lord had been teaching me for this past year, that I also have come to. He's still teaching me in it, but I'm excited about it. So I think we've got a great year of discovery of some of these things that are some deeper lessons. So before we begin our time this morning, and so today, because we have more chapters in this book than we have actual weeks, we're going to do together today the first lesson as an introduction. Normally, you will have prepared your lesson ahead of time and hopefully spent time in it, meditating on these truths, as well as spending time in God's Word, discovering them. And then the teacher for the morning will springboard off of that lesson with an aspect that the Lord has laid on her heart that she feels would be meaningful and is excited to bring us. So we get a lot of dimensions on each of these lessons. We'll skip two. It's hard to decide which ones, but I hope you do them on your own, maybe over the Christmas break. Chapter 4 and chapter 10, we will not be doing together as a class. So you need to pay attention there in your fall schedule of which chapter we are doing each week. So today we'll do together as an introduction this first chapter, an appropriate one, Women Who Sought Truth, and of course found it. So before we begin our time together this morning, let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank You that it is You who puts in our heart to seek You and desire You, because it's Your heart to meet us. It's Your desire that we know You better. So, Lord, what an exciting year we anticipate of this adventure, walking with You and seeking more of You. We commit this morning to You. Stir our hearts with these truths and encourage us with them. And we commit the time to You now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first chapter in this book is Queen of Sheba, looking at her and Sheila Walsh. And if you want to open to that first chapter, you know, you're welcome to. The Queen of Sheba, well, before I get into that, many of us did take trips this summer. Actually, we have some women gone right now. They're in France. There's a whole group of them from here traveling together over in France, and then another in Italy. Others of us had maybe less glamorous trips this summer, but very meaningful. I know some of you had family reunions. Florence went to North Dakota. Vicki went to Ohio. My family gathered in Kansas City. Fun times getting together. And our Minnesota kids came here, and that was special for me to have them here with those who are living here as well. So the summer often is about trips, and we start our lesson with a woman who is famous for a trip that she took, the Queen of Sheba. Now, who was she? Jesus even commended her. Quite a special woman for him to acknowledge her in his speaking and teaching. She was the ruler of the Sabians, and she was a contemporary of King Solomon, who was king of Israel at that time after his father David. Approximately 970 BC to 925 BC. Now, the Sabians and her kingdom was located south of Saudi Arabia in Yemen, what is today the greater part of Yemen. But she kept hearing about King Solomon and his wisdom and his riches and his relationship with the Lord. And she was curious. She was intrigued. So she took this journey of a minimum of 1,000 miles across the desert, something 2,000, across Saudi Arabia, way back, B.C., on camels. I mean, what a journey for her to take this trip. But she was so motivated of wanting to find out more. Now, this journey cost her a lot. I mean, she ruled a kingdom. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed with demands that I have on my time, and I think that's nothing compared to all that she must have faced. So what was involved for her to take weeks of travel, and however long she was there, and then weeks coming back, took a lot for her to make that effort for this trip. Delegating, I'm sure. Plus, she took a whole caravan of people with her. I wouldn't want to go by myself across the desert either. And she took a lot of gifts. This trip was very costly for her. The Bible says one place her story is recorded is in 1 Kings 10. And I'll read a portion of this. But one of the gifts that she brought him, says, was 120 talents of gold, which in our monetary terms today was worth approximately $52 million. Yeah, $52 million is what she took to give to Solomon. Which, and it seems to me that she gave it to him after she got there and after she listened to him and after she had that time with him and was so delighted that she gave him everything that she had brought and spices and other things. And in 1 Kings 10, I'll just read this little paragraph of her journey. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the servants in their robes, his cupbearers, the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, I had not even heard the half of it. Wisdom and wealth that you have far exceeds the report I heard." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Wow. All her efforts, all the fears that could have kept her from going, all the obstacles she had to overcome was worth it. What she discovered far exceeded her expectations. And I feel that's how it is with the Lord. And someday, not just now, but in the time when we appear before him, we are going to be overwhelmed. We hear bits and pieces of what it could be like. But when we get there, I know we'll say, "That far exceeds anything I had thought or imagined." In fact, Billy Graham writes of Joseph Everett, who on his deathbed exclaimed, "Glory, glory, glory," for 25 minutes before entering the presence of the Lord. What was he seeing? How exciting. What awaits us? But I also feel that this is what we'll say too when we see the Lord. Glory. He far exceeds our expectation, what we had anticipated, the little glimpses we have here that just thrill us and encourage us in our own passionate pursuit of him, are just, we see in a mirror dimly, wow, exciting. And so he invites us to get to know him better and better in our journey here now. It's an exciting journey. And I found this about exceeding my anticipation when I first began my journey of faith. Now, I always had had a heart for the Lord, but I hadn't fully understood the relationship with him. I felt like it was one of performance, that I had to please God in order for him to like me. And if I was to go and be with him when I do die, I felt like I had to perform and do all these things. And I remember lying awake when I was a senior in high school, wondering, if I were to die tonight, would I go to heaven? Had I done enough good things that I would merit being accepted by God? I hadn't understood. So then, when I was a senior, was invited to go to Young Life. Many of you are familiar with that organization. We have a lot of people involved with it in our room here. And there, I began to understand a little more about this relationship that he invites us into. I had always celebrated Christmas and Easter, you know, knew the truths of it, but I hadn't understood why Jesus had died. And I discovered he died because he loves me, just as I am. I didn't have to work to earn his love. Wow. How exciting, how liberating, how freeing, how wonderful. So I just opened my heart to him and asked him to come in as my personal savior. And there began my passionate pursuit of him that continues today. The more I discover, the more of him I long for. Now, after I received him as my savior, I started going to Bible studies. And of course, I was a new believer, so these were basic studies. And I went to camps, and I kept hearing the basics. They were wonderful, and I was excited about them. But after a while, I began to think, is this it? I wanted more. I love literature. And T.S. Eliot is one of my favorite writers because there's so much symbolism in T.S. Eliot. He's a challenge and to get below the surface of what he writes. I loved it. And I thought deep down, I kind of had hoped for more in my relationship with the Lord. Well, then I went off to a women's college with a friend whose brother had attended the men's college there in Missouri, affiliated with it. And it was a small school, wasn't interested in a large university at that point. So went there with my friend, and as far as I knew, I was the only believer on that campus. There were probably others, but I was the only one who was really verbal about my faith. So pretty soon, people started coming to me with their questions. I didn't know. And I was taking secular religion classes, and they were teaching some things in there, and I thought, I don't think that's true. But I had nobody to go to ask. The only one I had to turn to with my questions was the Lord himself and his word. And the Lord used those 2 years there to excite me about his word. His spirit opened it to me as I saw it with my questions and discovered him, discovered a beginning of the depth of who he is and the depth of his word and the types in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New. All the symbolism. Oh, it's rich. I was thrilled with what I was discovering. Who the Lord is. Amazing. Oh, I was delighted. So after that, I went to Wheaton College, and it was fun to sit in those classrooms and hear taught by the professors there the truths that the Lord had opened to me in his word. He is our teacher. His spirit makes his word come alive. And as we come to him with our questions, he meets us and takes us deeper. Exciting. So it really did far exceed what I had heard or understood or anticipated. Another woman who sought the Lord, who had a challenging journey, was Sheila Walsh. Now, some of you may know of her. She speaks with the conference Women of Faith around the country. Delightful person. She had quite a journey that she shares in her book, Honestly. She, in many ways, was like the Queen of Sheba. She was like a queen in her realm. Her kingdom was a television audience. She was co-host with Pat Robertson of the 700 Club for 5 years approximately, from the late 80s to early 90s. And she had been struggling with some things from the past, some hurts that she just had buried. And she felt like the Lord kept wanting to get her attention on. He wanted to meet her in those and help heal. But it was scary to her. She didn't want to go there, so she just kind of stuffed it and dusted it, swept it under the carpet. And she said pretty soon she was walking on a lumpy carpet, but it felt normal. Well, then, too, she began to struggle some in her faith. And she said, you know, she knew these truths in her head, but she wasn't experiencing them in her own life like she longed to. And so both of these kind of things going on in her life were reaching a crisis. And she had a choice to make, a decision to make. Would she embark on this journey? That would cost her a lot. It was her own personal desert that she had to go through. And she decided that it would be worth it. That she so longed to know the Lord more. She so longed for all that he wanted to give to her and be to her. That it was worth the cost. So she quit her job as co-host one day and left the studio and checked herself into a psychiatric hospital where she was diagnosed with clinical depression. And she's worked through a lot of things, and the Lord brought people to help her in that process. And in the end, she said, it was worth it. He is worth it. And I'll read a little bit in the book on page 10 of her journey. She said she was aware that something was missing in her life. And she said she knew the truth in her head, but it wasn't as real in her heart as she desired. She longed to know the Lord more fully in her experience. Also, she knew who she was on TV, but deep down, she didn't know who she was in real life. And in her book, Honestly, she confesses, when the lights went down and the people went home, I felt powerless to grasp hold of those truths for my own life. I could see dimly where I was, and I knew where I wanted to be, but I had no map to get there. Inside, Sheila was struggling. And she was afraid to have faced those. But with this crisis, she made this life-changing decision, and so began her journey. Leaving her high position, the land she entered was not a literal far country, but still a far country for her in this psychiatric hospital that she admitted herself into. And so she said, so began one of the greatest adventures of my life, to face the truth about myself, to face my fears, to let everything go, and to trust God in the darkness. She found him faithful. At the end of the journey, Sheila discovered, just as the Queen of Sheba had found, that the expectations she had when she began were far surpassed. It was a very positive journey, though difficult. For not only did Sheila experience healing and find herself, she also found God in a new and dynamic and real, vital way. She says, what I used to know in my head, I now know in my heart. And she delights in her discovery of God's liberating love and grace. And she says that just when she thought she had lost everything, I discovered the most precious gift in the world, a more honest and intimate relationship with Jesus. And then the Lord opened to her a wonderful, extensive, powerful ministry that is just bringing her such joy as well. But she said, he is worth it. Whatever the cost, he's worth it. We each have our own journeys. I've gone through my dark night caused by circumstances in my life. We each have our story. Sometimes I wrestled in the dark night with my faith. Some of the things I'd believed all my life about who God is and was being challenged by life itself. Maybe you've been there. And we have choices when that happens. We can either bury it or sweep it under the carpet or acknowledge that these are real questions. and come to the Lord with them. Wrestle with him. And this is his invitation to us. This is what he desires. Because he is who he says he is. We can ask the hard questions. He can stand the hard tests, the close scrutiny. He's pure, holy, good. He invites us to come and ask and to seek. So, you know, in our times today, we don't have it all together. You know, we're all on a journey, seeking, discovering, delighting in what we are finding in him. Sometimes in my journey, it didn't feel like so delightful. It was painful. There were times when I felt totally forsaken by him and wrestled with that. Where are you? How can you love me? How can you be good and not help me? Silence, darkness. Keep pursuing. Keep pressing on. I found that there were treasures of darkness that it talks about in Isaiah 45:3. Treasures of darkness. When he sees our heart to know him better, he has some of these precious truths that he doesn't just fling out lightly. He says, do you really desire? And I would get glimpses along the way of these precious truths that would spur me on to keep pursuing. And at the end of the journey, which is always ongoing in life, but found, yes, he is worth it. And he far exceeds what I had thought, what I had even known. He is the treasure. He is worth it all. Awesome. Wonderful discoveries and adventure he calls us to. We have many obstacles in this journey of faith, don't we? Many obstacles to try to hinder our pursuit. It can be practical things like the Queen of Sheba and all the demands and responsibilities. It can be emotional things like fears, fear of the journey, fear, well, what if I'm disappointed? What if I put all this effort in? What if it costs me something and I'm disappointed? What if he doesn't meet me? All these unknowns. What's the journey going to be like? How long is it going to take? How deep am I going to go? But the assurance is he is with us. He's carrying us. He's drawing us to himself. And he promises he will meet us in it. He knows the questions. He knows those areas of woundedness that he wants to heal and meet us in and comfort and restore. He is faithful. And the times when I thought he's not good, I find my discoveries of a higher good. I discover he is truly good. His goodness surpasses anything that I, in my humanity, understood. He is good and can be trusted. He is faithful and he promises to never, never forsake us. I love that song we sang this morning. Though all hell should endeavor to shake, no, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And he won't. He's pledged himself to that. The end of time, he's worshipped as worthy. If he had forsaken one of his own, anywhere from the beginning of time to the end of time, he would not be worthy of our worship. But he is, and he will be. That encourages us. He's faithful to me today, to you today, and whatever it is you are going through, whatever journey you are on, he's pledged himself to be your God and to be faithful. And so he bids us to come to him and seek him and journey with him. And he redeems everything life can throw at us and is with us to strengthen and to bring that good out for our good, for the furthering of his kingdom, for his glory. He's faithful. And we end up just delighting in who we discover him to be. Say, he far exceeds what we had anticipated. So we have these different obstacles. Sometimes the obstacles are just simply contentment. I know him well enough. I am not interested in really any cost of time or effort to pursue him more. It's good. But he says, oh, come closer. Know me better. This is what life's about. It gives us that invitation. One friend had an obstacle that she had to overcome. She really had a heart to get to know the Lord, and she was a very busy person. So she thought, because of the busyness of her days, she would get up early. But she's not a morning person. And so she would set the alarm every morning for 5 a.m., thinking, okay, I'm going to get up before kids and have this time with the Lord. Every morning, the alarm then would go off, and she'd hit the snooze. And hit the snooze again. And then she'd be so upset with herself. And she was sharing this with me quite a while ago now. But so one morning, the alarm went off. She hit the snooze, but she really wanted to get up. And she said, Lord, help me get my fanny out of bed. Well, she fell back to sleep. And the phone rang. 5 after 5 in the morning. And she groggily gets it and answers, hello. And this other voice on the other end of the line says, hello, is Fanny there? True story. The Lord does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? She was out of that bed. Now, we may not get a literal phone call, but he does call us to spend that time and to make that effort to block out time in our days, whenever it is, to come and be with him. And it's his heart's desire as well. And he promises he will meet us. It's important to him. Jesus commended the Queen of Sheba for making this journey to meet with Solomon, and he actually kind of condemns the Pharisees that were there. And this is recorded in Matthew 12. And Jesus, in his talking to them, said, the Queen of the South, which is the Queen of Sheba, will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. True for us. One greater than Solomon. Jesus himself is here. He's given us his word to teach us about life and about who he is. He says, spend time with me in this. We have the life of Jesus recorded here for us. Jesus, who the visible image of the invisible God, God himself that came to make himself known. He says, it's here, it's recorded. And he's given us his spirit to bring it to life and to reveal himself to us in and make himself known to us. So he says, take time, make the effort in the journey. And you're doing that. You're here. And I know many of you have taken time out from careers, from jobs, and made arrangements to be here this morning. That delights the Lord. The Lord was delighting in the effort that the Queen of Sheba made, and he delights in the effort that we make, hungering to know him better. Oh, it pleases him. Isn't that nice to know that you're delighting him by taking this time to seek him? Exciting. We each have our unique journey, and each are commended in it as we choose to seek him in it. We always have choices to keep busy with other things, filling up our days, important good things, but squeezing out greater time with him, pursuing him more, not taking that time, not desiring it. Say, I know him well enough. Ask him to give you that hunger, that passion, to renew it in you. As it's his heart to meet you then in it, he promises to meet us in it. Isaiah 45, he says, I have not said, seek me in vain. Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you do not know. Matthew 7, Jesus' words. Knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, you will find. Ask, and it will be given to you. And then he says, everyone who asks receives. We ask for more. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, he will open that door to know him better, to journey more closely with him. Him reveal what our lives are about, to open our eyes, to see him involved in our daily lives. He is alive. He's real. He's here. Wow. And he invites us to come. So this year, this is what we are anticipating. So whether you're beginning, you're like the Queen of Sheba, that you've heard these things and you're intrigued and curious to find out if this could be true, or if you're more like Sheila and you think there's got to be more, or just that you know him so well and you're so in love with him that you're just passionate about knowing him better, wherever you are in your journey. He receives us. He understands. He invites us to come just as we are and with our questions. He says, ask your hard questions. Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. He is worth it all, and he far exceeds anything that we have heard or could imagine. What a journey he calls us to in life with him. We have a lot to look forward to. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our beloved. We hunger to know you better. Lord, sometimes there's things in life that challenge our faith, and we wonder, what are you really like? Thank you that you invite us to come with our questions, that you encourage the seeking journey, and you promise that when we seek, we will find you. This is your delight. You gave your life that we would know you. Thank you that you honor that when we come seeking, and that it delights you when we seek you. Thank you for each woman here, her taking the time to come to pursue you. Bless our fellowship together and deepen friendships. And we just thank you for the gift of this time today. And most of all, for the gift of yourself, the gift of your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you give yourself to us. Lord, we love you, and we look forward to this year of getting to know you better. And we commit the rest of this morning now to you. In Jesus' name, amen.